two big red dots. Look at there, it's already recording. Come on in.
Oh, I bet some of them went to the other room.
Yeah, I've got them both going here. Okay, good to see y'all. Man, we got a smaller crowd than we've been having, but it's good. Like he said, we're a little bit halfway through. Remember the first week? We strapped on our belt of truth. The next week, we put on our breastplate of righteousness. Last week, we had our feet shod with the gospel of peace, with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Did you notice all three of those things we put on? We wear them. We won't take them off. We wear them. Well, tonight, we're not going to put on, but we're going to take up. We're going to take up, Ephesians. Yes, we're in Ephesians 6:16 tonight. You know, I hope y'all will start reading the book of Ephesians. I've been reading it just about every day, and it is a wealth of information for living the righteous life. I'm sorry. I looked around, and there weren't that many people, so I thought, this room would be cozier. Well, you missed the review. But tonight we're going to take up the shield of faith. Verse 16 says, above all. Now we've girded ourselves with the belt of truth. We've got righteousness. We've got our feet shod with the gospel of peace. But this says, and above all. Pretty much meaning, let's pay close attention to this one. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. I'm going to ask y'all a question, and I want some feedback. What is faith? I know you can probably quote the scripture on it.
The substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen.
That's right. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And as you know, I like to look up words that are simple. You think you'd know. What is substance? When somebody asks you something, you kind of have thought of something. What is substance? It's something solid. It's something real. It's not imaginary. It's something that, well, this is tricky, can be felt. We're talking about faith. But if we're looking at something that's solid or not empty, how about if it's a foundation? Faith is the foundation of things hoped for. What did we say hope was? Hope is a confident expectation. So we read this verse a little, and then evidence. What's evidence? You all not do very good at taking tests.
Proof.
Proof. Okay. It's because you think about trials and everything like that. But one of the dictionaries says that evidence is that which makes clear or plain and enables the mind to see truth. So it would be proof. You go to a jury, they're going to see things that is going to make their mind clear about who's telling the truth. So we could say, above all, taking up the shield of faith, where we will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the evil. Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So could we read that to say, now faith is the foundation of the desired expectation that we have of the proof that there's things to come. What's our desired expectation? To see Jesus.
Yes.
We've never seen him, but we got a foundation, right? Our faith, and we got a desired expectation to see him, and this is the evidence. This is the proof that we will. And when did we use this before? We girded ourselves with the truth. This is true. How do we get righteousness? Our breastplate of righteousness. by living by the truth that we find in this word. Right. Okay. Now, faith involves a lot of trust. I hate to fly. I do not think that plane is capable of staying in the air like a bumblebee. I hate it. But when I have to get somewhere, I mean, I go on it. And I sit down in that seat because my husband's crazy and he buys me a ticket knowing I don't want to get on the thing. But I get on it. And I'm amazed that when I land where I'm at and I'm healthy. Okay, did I have faith? I got on it.
Yes. Right?
Somebody else paid the price for me, but I got on it. You know, when my husband is on there, he's like, oh, I'm asleep or looking out the window, and I'm like this. We flew to Alaska. I never unbuckled my seatbelt. James says, you need to get up and walk around. No. You need to go to the bathroom. No. I'm not taking this seatbelt off. I stayed there the whole time. He and I were examples of faith. Okay? He had faith. Got on that plane. Knew he was going to get where he's going to go. I had faith to get on that plane. But my faith was wavering. Because I was looking at other things instead of keeping my mind where it should be. So we know faith involves a lot of trust. And as we examine the evidence, right here, we're going to examine the evidence of our faith, we're going to see that God has proven himself to be what? To be unchanging, he's consistent, and he's true to his word.
Yes.
Then we have to firmly believe that he will keep his promises to us. Sometimes it's hard to believe that when Satan is throwing those fiery darts at you. And that's why we have to take up that shield of faith. There's two kinds of faith. There's saving faith, and then there's living faith. Ephesians 2:8 says, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Okay, we have to believe God. We have to believe that he will save us, and we have to believe that before we can even start to live a life as a Christian. That is saving faith, okay? After we're saved, God will give us living faith. He gives us a deeper longing for his word. He helps our faith to grow. You know, the scripture says that if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you can tell a tree to move and it'll, or a mountain to move and it'll go and move. I don't think any of us have that kind of faith. And a lot of times we'll say, increase my faith. Well, he's not going to increase your faith, but your faith will grow. The first time I got on the plane, I knew we were going to crash, and we didn't. And we were going, but that's because we were going to South America. That's where we were originally going to be. And so, you know, if God's going to send me to South America, he wasn't going to let that plane crash. I went to Alaska. I mean, this was after we'd come back from the mission field as a vacation, and so he didn't tell me to go on that, so I was pretty sure that one was going to crash, you know, and kill all those people. But as we put our trust in something, it gets easier to trust. God will help you with it. You see, he answered that prayer, and it gets easier to trust him. So your faith doesn't necessarily grow, but it increases, and that's the living faith there. And the Holy Spirit's the one that helps us do that. The shield of faith is not saving faith. When we talk about picking up that shield of faith, it's not saving faith. Because remember, we've talked about when Paul was talking to the Ephesians, these were Christians. These were Christians he was talking to. And that's why I said, go back and read it. And if you read it, you'll see he's expounding on all of these things. And then at the last chapter is when he's talking about the armor. How we can do what he said in those before when we put on this armor. And you know, I thought, why did he use Roman armor? Why did he pick that? And I've read Ephesians, I don't know how many times, but kind of today when I was reading it, you know, I said he picked faith because Roman soldiers were walking all around in Ephesus and the Ephesians were seeing it. But one of the verses in there, it says, when Paul's talking, he said, as I'm here in bonds. He was chained up in a Roman prison. So he was seeing them firsthand in what they did. So he knew that we could relate to that. And when I said that the shield of faith is living faith, and living faith is a trust. Once we learn to trust in the power and the promises of God. Hebrews 11:6 stresses the importance of faith. Anybody going to take a guess what that says? I know that y'all know it, and you're going to think if you don't say it out loud or quote it. But without
faith,
what is it?
Impossible.
Impossible to please God. So we know that's living faith. Saving faith, for by grace are you saved. Not works, you know. But without this kind of faith, it's impossible to please God. Because once he saved us, he expects us to trust him, to grow, and to place our faith in him. Why a shield? But let's talk about the shield for a minute. The Roman shield of Paul's times, it was as big as a door. You see a lot of them, and they have this little shield, you know, they're holding up like this, almost like the size of a trash can lid, you know, and got the sword. This one is big as they are, almost like 4 foot by 2 foot. It covers their whole body. It was made of wood, and it was covered with a really tough leather. And they could take this leather and soak it in water. And, you know, when they fought back then, they'd have archers up on the hills or wherever, and they would light their arrows. And they would shoot them at that. And they would hold that shield up. Okay, you got a wet shield. You got an arrow flaming. And it would hit that. And what would it do? It would put out the fire. Which a fire could burn a wooden shield. But they knew to leather and to soak it. And that's why he relates it to us having our shield of faith. Because Satan's going to be tossing fiery darts at us. And we may have all the rest of this stuff on, but if we didn't have a shield, it's not going to help us. But that shield, if you hold it up, it can stop them. And that shield of faith is going to do that. Why is a shield associated with faith? Well, a shield guards. A physical shield protects the body. A spiritual shield protects our lives, even in the middle of physical trials. In Daniel 3:16-18, there's a story about three young guys that would not bow down to the idol.
Yes.
And they were thrown in the fiery furnace, and I'm not going to quote that scripture, but I'm just going to tell you, it's like he said, King, we will not bow down to that idol. We worship God and God only. And he's able to protect us from this furnace. We may die in there, but he's able to take us up. Their faith kept them through a trial. A shield deflects. These shields that they had were curved. They weren't just straight. They were straight, and they were curved on the top, curved on the bottom. So arrows and spears would glance off of them, go to the side. Satan's attacks can sometimes cause us to doubt God. Anybody ever been through a trial? Something happened that you may not doubt him loving you, but you doubt that he was there. It's like, where were you when this happened? I was all alone. Where were you? Faith prompts us to believe God. When Satan accuses us, faith chooses to believe that Jesus has redeemed us, and there is therefore now no condemnation. And we find that in Romans 8:1. Satan hurls these fiery darts at us, fear, doubt, worry, insecurity. But the only time that he can hit us is when we let that shield of faith down. If you lose faith, that's when Satan comes in and he's going to attack. When we stop believing, look at what's going on in the world today. Look at all of the things that are happening today. I mean, there's this little actress that is down here in Georgia.
Oh, and she needs to go back home.
pitching a fit because we don't want to let them have an abortion if there's a heartbeat. Did you ever think you'd live to see that day? I never did. I mean, there's things happening that, there's commercials that come on that, my word, if they were even talked about when I was young, that would have been horrible. I mean, they advertise things that it's like, it's unreal. I never thought that I would live in a world like this. And you know, it's evil. There's just things out there. And if you do not have that faith in God that He is in control, sometimes it's hard to believe He's in control. You would think, if I was in control, if I was, I'd stop that. I'd punish all them. I'd just send them on down to hell where, you know, that's why I'm not God. You know, there's a lot of people that would be bad, you know. When we stop believing or when we forget that God is in control, that whatever happens, and I know a lot of you have been through some rough times. I've had some. I think, God, I know you want better for this. Why is this continue? Why are marriages breaking up? Why are our children going astray? Why are things that were always wrong now right? And where are you? Well, when that happens, that's when we have to realize that God is in control and He wants the ultimate best for everyone involved, however little it seems to be that way. All things. Satan, we touched on this last week. It is written, all things work together for good to those that love God and are called according to His purpose. I know there's some things that I've looked at and thought, whose good can this be for? You don't know. The trial that you may go through, the pain that you may bear, may be what draws somebody else to the Lord.
Yes.
How we handle things will prove what our faith is.
I believe.
And when somebody can look and say, if they can go through something as difficult as that, they have something that I need.
Yes.
So we need to think about that. When things come our way, I know it's hard not to say, God, I can't take anymore. I mean, How many tests and trials am I going to have to endure? As long as we're asking that question, we're not where He wants us to be. When we can say, God, I don't see the end in this. I don't see the good that's going to come of this. But I trust You to show me and to help me through it. Okay, we're going to get done quick for today. A shield is the first line of defense. We have truth as our core, righteousness covering our heart, but we don't want these things. If I have on a belt, and then y'all have on this breastplate, but somebody's shooting flaming arrows at me, I mean, I got legs that are, you know, I got places that, I would love to have that shield. Shield of faith is one of the most important things there. We don't want these other pieces of armor to absorb all of the things that Satan is playing. When our faith is strong, it's impossible. When your faith is strong, I mean strong, it's impossible for Satan to break through that shield of faith. It is impossible. If our faith is strong and he's before God and accusing us, it's not going to happen. He's not going to break through it. But when we allow doubt, when doubt creeps in, and hey, I'm one of the worst. You don't know the times that I've, you know you're saved, you know everything's there, and then all of a sudden it's like, what if? You stop and think about when you think you're going to die and you're fixing to cross over, if you've got unconfessed sin, if you've got things in your life, if you haven't lived as close to Him as we should, you're going to start looking at your works. You're going to start looking at what you are instead of looking at Him. And that doubt will creep in. And it doesn't take much doubt to get in there for Satan to make you question everything. If you were really a child of God, you wouldn't do this. If you were really a child of God and He truly loved you, these things wouldn't be coming your way. When it's strong, it's impossible for Satan to get to us. Think about somebody here that was very strong. What about Peter? Peter had faith. Jesus walking on the water, what did Peter say? Lord, if it be you, bid me come to you. Jesus said, come. Now this is faith. He hops out of that boat. He walks on that water. And you know, there's a lot of preachers will say one thing. They'll say that as he walked on that water, he's thinking, look at me. I'm walking on the water. Look at me. That would be pride, right? Well, maybe he fell for pride. But he's walking on the water and all of a sudden the wind's blowing. And the waves are coming up. And then what does he do? Starts to sink. And he says, Lord, help me. All right. When he took his eyes off Jesus, whether he looked at the circumstances of the conditions of the sea or whether he got to thinking, look at me. I'm walking on water. He took his eyes off Jesus and he began to sink. Okay. A shield can encompass. If y'all notice the hard time I have saying breastplate. I have a hard time with incapacitate. My tongue don't want to work exactly right. This shield, I really didn't like learning about these shields. I'd rather talk about faith. But it was interesting. These shields are big, and they have a thing in the middle that's a big old knob. It almost looks like a doorknob. And it's called a boss, B-O-S-S. And it's used to, as somebody's attacking them, they can take that thing and with the force that they hit it, they can knock the enemy off their feet and dislodge him. And that he won't be able to stand. He's deprived of strength and the ability to fight once it's knocked down. Well, our faith should be as demonstrated by Christ. When he turned to Matthew, see if I can find it here. Matthew 4. And this is what we need to do when Satan's bothering us and when he's coming at us and he's trying to make us doubt. Matthew 4:10. This is when he was tempting Jesus. He kept coming to him and saying things to him. And at 10, then Satan said to him, he said, well, let's look at 8. Again, the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. And Satan said unto Jesus, all these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then Jesus said to him, get thee hence, Satan. And Jesus always says, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. He quoted scripture to Satan. What does verse 11 say? Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. If we could ever learn that when we are being bothered by Satan, when our faith is weak, when we're beginning to doubt, so many times I think we fall on our knees and, oh Lord, this trial's coming and all that, you know, and we're praying and we're saying, get me out of this. Help me out of this. He's already told us that we need to be strong in the power of His might. We know that Satan can't tolerate this. He cannot tolerate the Word of God. Just start quoting Him scripture. You know the ones that are going to be in there. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. Can't pluck you out of my hands. I mean, do those. Quote scripture. You quote it to Satan, and you'll learn it yourself. I'm going to eventually take a drink of this. and use Jesus as our example to fight Satan. And once he leaves us, what can we do? We can go about doing God's will, serving him. As long as Christians are bothered by Satan, and as long as he's got you consumed with the problems in your family, maybe you have problems in the marriage, you may have financial difficulties, as long as you're plagued with all of these concerns, doubting your salvation, as long as you're plagued with all of these concerns, you are ineffective for Christ. And you can't help but be. I mean, because these are important things, and this matters to you. But we have to remember, God is in control. And if we turn it over to him, he will either calm that storm you're going through, or he'll give you the grace to go through that storm. And sometimes I think that's the part we forget. We don't want to go through the storm, so we forget about the grace of going through it. And how can we still keep a smile on our face? How can we appear Christ-like when we're going through the storm? Okay, if we in God's... I have to talk about these shields again. The way these shields were made, and you got this whole bunch of soldiers here, when they're going into a battle, they all get together side by side with these shields, and they basically cover the whole body. And the ones in the front and on the side will kneel down. The ones that are in the middle will hold their shields up. And they can have 100 of them, and they will look like a big turtle. Actually, the word for that group is called tortesto or something like that. Looks like a big turtle. And the arrows can hit, and they bounce off, and they can march forward as a group to confront the enemy in the battle. One person going alone is not going to be very effective. But they're like this group, they're protected. That's a good thing about the shield there. Those on the outside would use their shield to create the wall, and then the ones on the top kept the flaming arrows from coming there. When the Roman army joined forces like this and had all their shields together, they became an almost unstoppable force. Now, we as Christians are to take up the shield of faith. As Christians, we join together. And if we, in God's church, join our shields. Ladies, if all of us here, just us, we had our shield of faith and joined them together, and there was an enemy attacking one of us, if we banded together with our shields of faith, and I know we're not talking about this, that we could do it physically, but if by faith we banded together and covered each other with faith, it would be amazing at what we could do. And it's what he wants us to do. We need to strengthen each other in this room. We need to strengthen each other with our faith. We need to build each other up in our faith. And we need to serve him within the body of Christ as we're able. When we do that, we'll become an unstoppable force to take on any challenge. Too many times we're only concerned with our own battle. And I'm guilty. I'm probably one of the guiltiest. I don't read people very well. I can't look at somebody and say, they look like they're having a, they look troubled. And just, I don't read people well like that. I also, somebody can be out of church for two or three Sundays, and I may think, well, they're visiting somebody, or they're on vacation, or... And come to find out, when I finally call them, find out they've been in the hospital for 3 weeks. Yes. It's hard for us to join together if we don't know each other. Hey, come to people. Come to your Christian friends, your sisters. If you've got a burden, you don't have to tell people what burdens are. You can just say, I'm troubled. I need you to pray for me. As I mentioned to y'all, I need y'all to pray for my granddaughter. she'd been in a bad wreck, and she's got a little bit more problems with her leg than she had, and she's having a hard time making decisions in life. I'd love for y'all to pray for her. I mean, she needs to get closer to the Lord, you know, and it will help to know that y'all are praying. I had Debbie Foskey come to me one time, and she asked me to pray with her about something. Well, then we ended up, I shared with her, and she just told me, she said, I knew something was bothering you. I didn't know what it was, but I just knew it was there. And I asked God, I said, give me that kind of spiritual insight that I can tell when I feel like, whether I talk to him or not, that I need to pray for him. I feel like God's working with them. Okay, we shouldn't only be concerned with our battle. All of our brothers and sisters in Christ here at Corinth, in Loganville, and around the world. Do you ever watch the news about Christians being persecuted in other countries? Pastors that are in jails there. How often does it enter your mind to pray for that? Speaking to myself, I'll hear things and I'll say, oh, that's terrible. That is so terrible. And then a TV program comes on or something else comes up, and Satan just lets that thought go out of my mind when immediately I should be praying. There's missionaries all over the world, and I'm sorry, but I think the way we pray, and God bless our missionaries, that serve in, you know, we mention them, but do we truly feel for them? Do we truly, by faith, reach out to them? I know I made a determination one time, and I hope it was the Lord's will, but I decided, well, I'm going to get all these emails about Macedonia missions, and once a week I'm going to email a missionary and just say, what are your needs? Let me help pray about this. You do not know the blessing I got that came back from the ones that answered. But it didn't take long for me to get real busy and not get through the whole list. Satan saw something happen. He took that out. We have to watch. If we win our battle, if we win, make it sound like we got one battle, Satan is going to fight us every day till the day we die and go to heaven or until the Lord comes back. If we win any battle, it's only going to be because we put our faith in God and because we stand side by side. Now, what did our scripture tell us we're to do? Why do we need to have our feet shod with the gospel of peace that have the hobnails in it? Remember what I said? We dig them in. So we dig them in. And we stand. Because the scripture tells us, after we've done everything there is to do to stand, just stand. And that's what we're going to have to do, but we cannot do it without faith in God. And we need to stand side by side. Jude 1:3, I'm not going to read the whole thing, but it talks about the common salvation. And this is what we need to do. We need to contend earnestly for the faith. That's living faith. Contend earnestly for the faith which was once delivered to the saints. Ladies, we've covered a lot of our stuff. But faith. Faith is the most important thing. Truth, yes. Truth is important. Truth is the major thing. This is truth. But until I do something with this truth, it's not effective. Righteousness. When we're clothed in God's righteousness, let's say we're righteous. I'm living a righteous, I believe this, and I'm living a righteous life, and I'm happy. I'm doing everything this book says. Okay? Is that where I stop? Is that where we stop? Then we pick up faith, and then once we've got the faith that we need, then we're going to carry it out. We got our shoes, and we're standing. But like I taught before, we can't just stand. We have to get on the offensive and go forward and take the gospel. Show the gospel in our lives. We need to trust God. Realize this world is in bad shape. I'm not against immigration. I'm not. But I tell you what, we've got so many people coming in, and yes, we're to be compassionate and all this, but how do we do it? How do we take care of everybody? Is there going to be enough? If everybody comes to America, how are we going to feed them? What's going to happen? If we start looking at those kind of things, we're going to get so depressed. We don't mind killing babies, but for heaven's sakes, don't drown a kitten. Or don't cut down a tree that a hoot owl's got a nest in there, and that hoot owl might be extinct. I mean, we're upside down. We're upside down. Don't forget, God is in control. All things. Somebody said one time, the reason God is doing this is we're going to make us so miserable that we're going to start praying, come, Lord Jesus, come. And that's what we're supposed to do, but not because it's miserable. Because a lot of times when we say, I'm just praying for the Lord to come back, is it because you want to see Him? Is it because you want to see Him and bow down at His feet? Or is it because we hurt so bad, our bodies are in pain, there's so many problems going on, it's just like, Jesus, come back and just get me out of this mess. That's not why He wants us to pray, Lord Jesus, come. It's because we want to see Him. So, let's put on our shield of faith. Next week, we're going to get us a helmet of salvation. And if we get it fast enough, we may get two in one. Pick up that sword, which is the Word of God. You ladies may do this, and you probably do, and I'm saying this to myself. We need to spend time in this Word.
Yes.
While I have been, whether y'all get a thing out of this, I have been in here and looking up stuff, and then when I look at that, it takes you here, and when you get there, you think, oh my word, I never saw that before. This is, it's like God just, and I'll sit there and I'll think, I've been here 3 hours, I gotta get up and do something. And when I stand up out of that chair, I just about can't walk because I've been sitting for so long. But it's just, I don't know, it's just like fresh air, and it's like something. And then it's like an addiction. You can get addicted to the Word of God. There's so much in here. And I thank y'all for putting up with me. I thank you for enduring. We are going to be done early. I turn mine off, but then I have to do something to it.